Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life this morning. I'm Steve Klein. Great to have you listening to the program today. Hope everything is going well with you this morning and that you're enjoying this good day that God has given us. We're so thankful for the first day of the week, especially when we come together as His people to honor and glorify Him. We'll be doing that this morning at Eastside. We'd love for you to be with us at 10 o'clock this morning. We're not having our 9 o'clock Bible study as we normally do, but we are meeting at 10 to worship God, to glorify Him, to remember His Son who died for us. We'd love for you to be with us. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. So if you're anywhere in the Athens area, come be with us at 10 o'clock this morning and enjoy our worship to God with us. If you can't be there, not able to get out, check us out online. Our services are live streamed, and you can go to our Facebook page, Eastside Church of Christ in Athens, Alabama, on Facebook. Or you can go to our website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org, and click on the media tab and the live streaming. But we would love for you to be with us, and we hope that in any case, you have a great day honoring the God who's blessed us all so richly. You know, as we strive to live as Christians, I think there's a lot of confusion among Christians about what our responsibility is to the law of God, and even how we should feel about the law of God. On the one hand, we know that we're not saved by keeping law, because we're all sinners. The Bible says, Romans 3 and verse 23, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So no one keeps God's law perfectly. And if you did keep it perfectly, you really wouldn't need to be saved, because you wouldn't need to be saved from your sins because you hadn't committed any, right? So, you know, somebody that keeps the law of God perfectly is not even concerned about salvation. But none of us do that. None of us do that. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we know we're not saved by that just perfect and absolute law keeping. But on the other hand, those who don't keep God's law have violated it and are sinners and therefore stand condemned before Him. Of course, it's only God's grace that solves what seems to be this impossible dilemma. By God's grace, we get forgiveness of our sins, but we also continue to live under His law. And so we need to understand more, I think, and appreciate more about the law of God than we do. A lot of times, I think Christians, those who claim to be Christians in today's world, just think about, all they think about is grace, and the law of God is often disrespected. It's spoken ill of. You know, people don't have a high regard for law and the law of God. And I'd like us to think about that this morning, as we certainly appreciate God's grace, which is necessary for our salvation. But we also need to have a proper appreciation for what God's law is. And so let me just say again, as we start out this thinking through this, that law keeping, keeping God's law, will not save, because we don't do that perfectly. The law of Moses in the Old Testament, the law that God gave to Israel through Moses, demonstrated this point. It was not kept perfectly. It was not kept thoroughly, if you will. So it justified no one. If you look at the book of Galatians, Galatians is one of the books of the New Testament that talks a lot about what the old law accomplished and what it didn't accomplish. But in Galatians 3 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, "As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them.' But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, because the just shall live by faith." So Paul is really saying a couple of important things to us there. And the first of them is really a quote from the law itself, from Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 26, when he says, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them." And then the thing is, nobody continued in all of those things. In the Old Testament law of Moses, nobody except for Jesus Christ did everything that the law required. And so he says that's why everybody who's under that law, and he is talking about the law of Moses specifically, everybody that was under that law was not in good shape, was cursed, because they didn't continue in all the things that were written. The other thing that Paul tells us in this passage is that God intends for the just to live, to live their lives and to gain eternal life by faith. The just shall live by faith. Over in the book of James, James writes in James chapter 2 and verse 10 that whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point is guilty of all. So if you did everything the law of Moses said to do, and yet you stumbled in just one thing, you were guilty. You were condemned. And that's what Paul is getting at there in Galatians chapter 3. So the law of Moses demonstrated that, you know, this idea of perfectly keeping a law of God was not what we're going to be able to do. And even those who were under the law of Moses, of course, failed to keep it. Going all the way back to when it was instituted. But beyond that, those who lived before of the law of Moses failed to keep the laws that God had given them. So all the way back to Adam and Eve, and continuing with every accountable person who's ever lived, those, except for Christ, no one has kept the law of God completely. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, Paul states it this way. He says, just as through one man, he's talking about Adam, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. There are a lot of people who read that and they say, well, you know, all sin because we inherited Adam's sin. But that's not what that verse says. The verse says that death spread to all men because all sinned. We have all sinned. That's the problem. And sin is a violation of the law of God. The really good definition of what sin is found for us in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Whoever commits sin commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Sin is not doing what God requires us to do. It is not doing things that God tells us not to do. Sin is activity of humans that is without law, that is without authority. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. The King James Version there says sin is a transgression of the law. So keeping law, if we're expecting that to get us to heaven by, you know, doing every last thing that God has said to do, that's not going to work because we don't do that. Lawbreakers are doomed. Lawbreakers will be lost. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23, as he's picturing, you know, the judgment scene, and there are some standing before him who expect to go to heaven. And he says, I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So here Jesus Christ himself is saying, I will condemn those who work lawlessness, who transgress the law. And they'll be, he tells us later, gathered out of the kingdom. Interesting parable is told by Jesus, several of them, obviously, in Matthew chapter 13. But the parable of the tares is a pretty interesting parable where a man goes out and he sows some wheat in his field, and an enemy comes and sows some bad seed in the field, I guess, right behind him. And it comes up and you have the wheat that's growing up, and then you have the tares, which looks a lot like wheat, but it's a poisonous, noxious grain. And, you know, the servants of the master say, look, an enemy has, you know, we've got this poison grain growing up, and an enemy has done that. And that represents how Satan, you know, he sows his seed in the world as the word of God is also sown in the world. And we have a lot of folks in the world, and we're all kind of growing together. And what comes up in the parable is, well, how are you going to separate the ones who are sown by the devil, so to speak, and the ones who belong to the kingdom? And Jesus answers that in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 41. He says, at the end of it all, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. And the next verse says, he will cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So what happens to, you know, the bad plants, the tares, those who are of the evil one? Well, they're going to be harvested, plucked out, separated from the good, and they'll be thrown into the fire, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's an awful destiny for those who practice lawlessness. The English Standard Version says that they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all law breakers. All law breakers. So what we're learning in these passages, just to be simple about it, is that law breakers will be lost. If you're characterized, if you are a lawbreaker and you don't get forgiveness of that law breaking, that sin that you've committed in your life, then this is the situation you'll be in. A lot of people, as they look at the New Testament, they notice the encounters that Jesus has with the scribes and the Pharisees. And these were people who were living under the law of Moses in Jesus' day, and they were, presumably, at least ostensibly, they were people who were sticklers for keeping the law. But Jesus saw through them. He realized that they really weren't interested in keeping God's law so much as they were interested in keeping their own traditions and, you know, appearing to be righteous before men and getting glory from men. And so those were their real interests. And Jesus obviously saw through all of that. But in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 28, he speaks to them and he says, you outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. So here were people who, you know, were insisting that everybody would keep the law to the nth degree, but they were not keeping the law themselves. They themselves were full of lawlessness. The problem with the Pharisees then wasn't actually legalism. They were insisting that others keep the law. That's what they espoused. But their true problem wasn't that at all. Their true problem was that they did not keep the law, that they were lawless themselves. And so in a little early on in Matthew 23, Jesus, as he addresses the scribes and Pharisees and the multitudes about the scribes and Pharisees, he says that the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. This is Matthew 23 and verse 2. The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. See, there's their problem. It's not that they said everybody ought to keep the law and we ought to keep the law, you know, to the nth degree. That was not the problem. The problem was that they said that, but they didn't do it. They didn't keep the law. Jesus goes on in that text and points out all sorts of manner of hypocrisy and evil doing that the scribes and Pharisees were guilty of. They were not doing what God expected them to do in the law. They had replaced it, as I said earlier, and as Jesus says, by their traditions and other things, by their self-righteousness. But getting back to our point, when you think about that Old Testament law, we're learning a lot of lessons this morning, aren't we? We're learning that law keeping, you know, keeping it to the nth degree, so to speak, did not save anybody in that Old Testament system, and that those who broke the law then would be lost. So you say, well, that just puts everybody in a horrible situation. Well, without the grace of God, it does. Without Jesus dying on the cross to forgive people of their lawlessness, of their sins, of their transgression of law, without him doing that, we'd be in a horrible situation, both we that live today under the law of Christ and those that lived under the law of Moses, to whom Jesus is speaking here in Matthew chapter 23. So here's how this dilemma then is solved. It's solved through God's grace. But because law brings this awareness of sin, and law brings sin into our lives, and the remedy for that has to be Christ dying on the cross and God's grace, there are lots of folks today who get the wrong idea about law, as if the law itself was something that's bad. and as if keeping law or telling people to keep the law is something that's bad, or telling people that we need to keep the law in every specific point, that that's a bad thing to say and do. And folks, that's just not what the Bible says. That's not the Bible picture at all. Despite in Romans chapter 7, Paul talks about what the law, you know, accomplished in his life and the fact that he came to know sin because of the law. He transgressed the law, and that put him in this horrible situation where, you know, you're, here you are, a transgressor of the law. You're bound by that. You're doomed to punishment, to eternal torment. And Paul, everybody who's ever lived, you know, has come into that situation through the law. But Paul doesn't turn on the law. He doesn't say, well, the law then is bad. He doesn't say, well, we shouldn't keep the law. That's not what he says at all. In fact, he says in Romans chapter 7 and verse 12 that the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. So just because we have broken the law and therefore stand condemned, that doesn't mean the law is bad. The law is good. The law of Moses was good. And he is talking in that context in Romans chapter 7, again, specifically about the law of Moses. That's what's in that context. We'll notice that again in a minute. But in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, he writes to Timothy, "We know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully." I hope we're learning something here this morning. I hope we're learning that maybe what we've been told about the necessity for keeping God's rules and the importance of keeping God's law, a lot of people have indicated that's not something we need to be concerned about or try to do that much. And that's really not the Bible picture. The Bible picture is we need to strive our very best to do what God has said. Some have suggested that Christians are saved not being under law of any kind, that they should not be concerned about the law and they're not under law of any kind. They misuse, in coming to that conclusion, they misuse plain Bible passages that are meant to show that we are not under the law of Moses, nor are we under a system of salvation based on law keeping. But there are several scriptures in Romans and Galatians, especially, that will help us understand this better, I think. In Romans chapter 3, and rather Galatians chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24. Here again, the apostle is definitely talking about the law of Moses. We need to make sure we understand what law is being talked about in these passages. He's definitely talking about the law of Moses that the Israelites lived under. And he mentions in Galatians chapter 5 that, or Galatians chapter 3 rather, in verse 16, that law was added 430 years after Abraham. So he's definitely talking about the law of Moses. That's when the law of Moses was added. And he's talking about that law, and he says in Galatians 3:24, "Therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor." So there are some people that jump on that and they say, oh, you see, we're not under any kind of law anymore. We don't have to worry about any kind of law. Well, that's not what Paul's saying. He's saying we're not under the law of Moses anymore. That law is the law that we're not under. And it was designed to bring us to a point where we'll be saved by faith in Christ. The law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be saved through faith. But now that faith has come, we're no longer under that tutor. Paul says something similar in Romans chapter 7 and verse 6. He says, "We've been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not the oldness of the letter." People look at that verse and they say, oh, we don't have to keep law anymore. We don't have to worry about rules anymore. That's not what Paul's saying. He's saying we're not under the law of Moses anymore. In fact, in the very next verse that I just read to you in Romans 7 and verse 6, in Romans 7 and verse 7, he said, "I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet." What law is he talking about? Well, you shall not covet is the 10th commandment in the law of Moses, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17. So in these passages where you have the apostle saying, you know, the law was our schoolmaster, our tutor to bring us to Christ. We're not under that anymore. We've died to the law. He's talking about that Old Testament law of Moses that did not include in it a method, a way, a means of having sins forgiven by God's grace once you had violated the law. That was the problem with that law, that it did not make that provision for ultimate forgiveness of our sins. And the only way anybody under the old law, by the way, could get forgiveness of their sins or would ever get forgiveness of their sins is that Christ died on the cross, and what he did on the cross paid the price of sins committed both before and after he died on the cross. So God was looking forward as he was dealing with the people in the Old Testament, looking forward to the time that Christ would come and die on the cross for the sins of all mankind. People's sins are forgiven through the blood of Christ. So God has solved the dilemma of the law for us. We live under the law of Christ, but we rely on his blood to cleanse us anytime the law is violated. We've already seen that if law is violated, we become lawbreakers. We stand condemned before God, so we have to get forgiveness of that law-breaking, of that sin. But again, that doesn't mean we're not under law. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 20, there the apostle is talking about how he was willing to do whatever he could to help people be saved. He was willing to go among the Jews and live like Jews, or he is willing to go among the Gentiles and work with them, those who had the law of Moses, those who did not have the law of Moses. It didn't matter to him. Paul was willing to sacrifice and go into all kinds of different people and all sorts of cultures and situations to take the gospel for their salvation. And so he says, to the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews, to those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law, to those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. He's talking there about the Gentiles. They weren't given the law of Moses. They weren't under that law, but they had still sinned by violating God's will, God's law, his rules for mankind that could be found even outside the law of Moses. And so Paul says, you know, I became a Jew, like a Jew, so I could talk to those, you know, who were Jews who had the law. He was obviously born a Jew. He lived as a Jew. But the point is, as a Christian, he would go in and talk to Jews and meet them on their ground. And then he'd also go talk to Gentiles who had not been given the law of Moses. But in saying all of this, he points out, he says, it's not that I was, or they were, without law toward God, but we're under law toward Christ. We're still all under law. And if we're Christians, we have an obligation to law that Christ has given. Law is part of the gospel, and it includes many specific moral principles that Christians are obligated to live by and that we have to pay attention to and that we must obey. Please don't get the idea that we're under grace and so we don't need to be concerned about keeping law. That is the furthest thing from the truth. The devil would like you to believe that, but that's not true. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says in verse 8, we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and the profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers. And then after he lists all of these sins, which expose the lawlessness of those who are unrighteous, he says, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. What does that verse say? What are we learning here? We're learning that the gospel is requiring us, demanding of us, that we not commit these sins that he just listed, that are part of God's law. You see, we have to live under God's law. It's part of the gospel. And these things are according, he says, to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, the gospel that Paul was preaching, the gospel that had been committed to his trust. The gospel contains law. If we're being saved by grace, we're people who have heard the gospel. We've believed the gospel. We have faith in Jesus. We've been obedient to the gospel, having repented of sins and confessing the name of Jesus and being baptized in water for the remission of our sins. We've obeyed the gospel and we've been saved by grace, but that does not mean that we can ignore God's law. The blood of Christ, thankfully, however, redeems us from every lawless deed that we might commit in reference to God's law. So to wind up this morning, let's focus on that. And of course, this is what everybody wants to focus on, and it's the delightful thing about the gospel, and that is God's grace and how our sins are covered by grace. So Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous of good works. You see, Christ was given for us to redeem us, to save us from every lawless deed, every violation of the law. In Romans chapter 4, Paul says, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin." And it is by the blood of Jesus Christ, by his sacrifice, that we come into that grace that is poured upon us, that we accept by faithful obedience. In the new covenant, then, we enter this new covenant, this new testament of Jesus Christ, by faithful obedience that we've just described. And we have this relationship with God in that new covenant. Paul, and the writer of the Hebrew letter says in Hebrews 8 and verse 12, speaking on God's behalf, he says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. We have that forgiveness in the new covenant through the blood of Jesus. May godly attitudes toward God's law and towards God's grace fill our minds and hearts. That's my prayer for all of us this morning. Let us love God's law, strive our best to obey all of God's law. Let's understand when we fall short of that it's only God's grace that will enable our salvation then. And so we strive to keep the law of God while relying on God's grace to forgive us of our lawless deeds. That's the point of the lesson. Hope you understand. If you'd like to discuss this further, feel free to contact us. Call me 256-232-4666 at the church building. And if I'm not here, leave a question if you're interested to talk about this further. We thank you again for tuning in today. We hope that the Lord will be with you through his law and through his grace as you strive to walk the way that leads to life.